bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather as your children in this place to sing, to worship, to pray, to fellowship with one another, to withdraw for a time from the world and simply focus on celebrating you and learning more about you. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, that we might walk in your ways and focus on you in the midst of a world full of distractions. We pray in your name. Amen. Our epistle lesson today from the book of James talks about some challenging things. In fact, most of James is a rather challenging book. And for those of you who want to learn more about the book of James, as soon as my Sunday morning Bible class finishes Romans, which should be in short order, we're going to take a look at this book. James is talking about the challenges of living as Christians. In the latter part of our text, he uses this phrase: "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And what he's saying is that it's challenging for us as Christians to live in this world because, you see, there is only one way that points to Christ, and the world is tearing at us in a variety of ways to pull us away from Christ. And we find ourselves in our lives at times being these double-minded people. We're enamored with and drawn into the things of the world, and we forget, sometimes only for a short period of time and sometimes for a long period of time, who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. There is this struggle between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is doing what comes naturally. That's our sinful nature. And James lists a bunch of those things, and he even calls it unspiritual and demonic. Now, most of us don't run around thinking of ourselves as unspiritual and demonic. And yet the scripture is pretty clear: if it's not from God, then it's not God-pleasing. We struggle living in this world, trying to be followers of Jesus Christ, and yet so many times when that godly wisdom comes before us and God is saying that we should follow him and the Holy Spirit is pushing and prompting us and even trying to compel us to do that which is God-pleasing, we resist God. And so it's no wonder that James says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you," because we're not used to doing that. We're used to a culture and a world that lives something along the lines, if it feels good, do it. And yet, so many times we compromise in a way that doesn't give glory and honor to God and certainly doesn't feed our faith, but rather entices our sinful nature. It's interesting that if we look at general statistics for our culture, there's very little difference between those who believe in Jesus Christ and profess faith and those who don't when it comes to the issues of morality in our nation. We put up with the immorality, or we sometimes even somewhat embrace it, thinking to ourselves that somehow we can straddle the fence or have it both ways. And the reality is that doesn't work, and it's not God-pleasing. In fact, the more we seek Jesus, the less likely we are to sin, and the more we seek the world, the less likely we are to know Jesus. It's a challenge. It's hard today to turn on the television without being offended in some way, shape, or form and watch some sort of moral standards being compromised or ignored. And it doesn't matter if it's an entertainment show or a news show or whatever it might be. And we slip. And we falter. After all, which one of us hasn't been in a movie theater at some point in time and a scene flashes up that we go, that's not good and that's not right. But most of us don't get up and leave. We just wait until the next scene comes along and go, I guess that's the way the world is. It's a challenging place. And we live too often as a double-minded people in this world, trying somehow to fit into the world and be in the world and somehow at the same time trying to live in a godly way and to please God, and it doesn't work. And James says to us, that's what causes the quarrels and the fights and the discontentment and the disagreements, that we have this war within us. And Paul echoes the same things. My favorite tongue twister, the good that I would do, that I find myself not doing, and that which I should not do, that's what I find myself doing. It's this constant struggle between our sinful flesh. And that which God calls us to be in Christ Jesus. James goes so far as to label us as an adulterous people, a people who, in a sense, are married to Christ but having an affair with the world. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? That is strife with God. It's the very same word there that's used in that struggle between Christ and the devil. That when we're a friend of the world, that we are essentially being a tool or an instrument of Satan. And so he encourages us, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. He doesn't use the phrase in the text, but it fits so well. To be a single-minded people, to be inclined by that, to be anchored in our single-mindedness, in our commitment to Christ, to say to ourselves that if I am going to live in this world, I need to be anchored in Christ Jesus, who guides my paths, who moves my heart and shapes it to do the things that God has called for me and prepared for me to do. It's not easy. But there are so many things in this world that we like. They consume our time, our resources, our energy. We have a passion for something. We want to go on this vacation or that. We save for it. We do those things. And certainly life should be enjoyed and life should be lived to its fullest. But when we do those things to the exclusion of God, then we are in danger. It's important for us to remember that we, as children of God, are created to live forever, that we're in this world for a short time. In fact, the Bible says that we're really not of this world. You may have seen the bumper sticker or the sticker on cars that looks like, "Took me forever to figure out what this thing meant." And it looks kind of scary in its rugged letters and words. Not of this world. It's a mindset that comes from that wonderful scriptural verse that says, we're in the world, but not of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world, and we're sent to the world to bear witness to the truth of our love in Jesus Christ, to share the message of salvation with those around us. And so often, when we are indistinguishable from those around us in the rest of this world, when we blend in, then people go, "Where's the relevance of your message?" We are to be set apart, a people who see clearly who Christ is, and that our destination is heavenward in Christ Jesus. A people who can take the message of hope and salvation to this world, living in a way that doesn't show that we agree with what the world is doing, but rather that says we stand for what Christ is doing and has done and will do. That we stand for a Savior who was born into this world, who went to a cross to redeem us and this world from the multitude of selfish, sinful behavior that we often live in. Now, being in the world and not of the world doesn't mean that we're perfect. We are going to mess up. We are going to do things in wrong ways, and we are going to follow wrong paths from time to time. But we as Christians know that when we catch ourselves, or when one of our brothers or sisters holds us accountable and says, "You know, you need to get your life straightened out here," that we listen, we go back to our Lord, we fall to our knees, we make confession, and we receive His grace and His mercy, empowered once again to share with our world that being followers of Christ, it's different. It's living for Christ and not for ourselves. It's a struggle. It's a challenge. But it's so freeing and empowering. I got to tell you, some of you know this. I have pretty much, for the most part, given up watching all news programming since last Ash Wednesday. I can't tell you how freeing that is. People will come up to me and say, "Have you heard what's going on?" Nope. I might read snippets of it now and then on the web or whatever, but even that I've kind of limited. And you know what? I don't miss it. Because it was consuming me and stressing me out, and I came to the point of, it really doesn't matter what's going on politically in this world, because no one was ever saved and went to heaven by being an independent, a Republican, a Democrat, a socialist, or whatever. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet, why is it we consume ourselves so much with the things of this world that we forget about Christ? He's the one in charge. He's the one who died for the world and who saved the world.
Pastor, don't you care that this country's going to hell in a handbasket?
No, not really. What I care about is the souls that are going to hell in a handbasket. Our human things are going to fail us every single time. They're going to disappoint us every single time, whether it's in politics or college football. The only stability, the only foundation in life that we have is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And what causes the stress in our lives is being double-minded. Somehow trying to have it both ways, to have the world and Christ, and somehow trying to make them fit together, and they don't. They don't. We're in this world. We live, we breathe, we function in this world. But we're not of the world. We're not sucked into the worldly things. We're not sucked into the disorder, into the vile practices, into the I'll get you, or I'll get ahead, or I'll get even mindset, or it's me above all things. We don't get sucked into that. We rather live with the wisdom that comes from God, knowing that His Holy Spirit shapes us to be pure and peaceable and gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, and sincere in the way that we live our faith, so that as we go into this world, people see Christ in us. They see the hope that we have. They see what makes us different. The task before us, my friends, is to live in the way of Christ and to not get sucked into the world. To live in the way of Christ and to be ready to give an answer to those around us who say, "What's important to you? What makes you different? What do you believe?" To give an answer, to look at those in this world who are suffering and struggling, and to share Christ with them in a way that they begin to have the same hope that we have, and they know the same Savior that we know. There's power in the words of the gospel. And that's the power that we are called to live in and under and with. May we be a single-minded people, focused on Christ our Lord. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of God in Christ Jesus, and to life everlasting. Amen.